Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today is Monday, June 14th, 2021. I'm your host, Robert. Today is probably going to be a relatively short show, and I apologize for that, but I'm kind of pressed for time. It's already a little bit late. In fact, this entire week and weekend are going to be really, really bad. That old saying, when it rains, it pours, is true for me this week with work. I've got a lot of projects coming up, which I'm grateful for. But this week truly is a rain or pour, you know, when it rains, it pours situation. I'm really, really going to be swamped. It's going to be extremely difficult to get on here other than today to give you any kind of a show at all. It's taken up a lot of my time. I might be able to come on maybe for a little bit on Friday and do a little short show. But again, that's kind of a big question mark right now. I'm working on Saturday again. And Sunday is Father's Day. I'm going to be spending the day with my dad. So it's really looking like a full week before I'm going to be back. So I'm going to try to not schedule anything at all for Monday of next week and try to get back on there with a decently, a long show. Now, in the meantime, what I'm hoping to do throughout this week, since I'm not going to be doing a lot of shows or anything like that, I'm probably going to be posting on my Telegram channel, which is over at Conservative Roots Podcast. At least that way I can put up a couple of voice messages, share some important articles, things like that. Also, believe it or not, and it pains me to say this, but I joined TikTok. Hate saying that out loud. I hate doing it. I really don't like TikTok. I don't like the app. I don't like what's on there for the most part, but that's where the people are, and it can be a useful tool. So if you are on TikTok, I'm at Conservative Roots Podcast there as well, and I'm going to try to get a couple of things up there this week. I'm totally new to it. I'm not sure exactly how it works yet, but I am going to try to get a couple of things up there today and get it going. I've seen a lot of conservatives on there. I've not been on the app much, but I've seen TikTok videos from conservatives posted in other places, like over on Instagram, other social media. I've seen people posting them, and it's actually a pretty valuable tool. There's so many people out there on TikTok that this is a good way to share information. It's a good way to get your voice out there, and I do need to promote the show more. Gives me an opportunity to share my opinion. A lot of times, maybe also on stories or issues that I would normally kind of pass by for a podcast. You know, the podcast, I try to focus on some of the major stuff that's going on. If I do something daily on Telegram or TikTok, you know, maybe I can focus on a story that really doesn't warrant being in an episode of a podcast, but it's something that I want to talk about anyway. So it's a way to start looking for ways to broaden the audience. And so if you are over there on TikTok, give me a follow. It's Conservative Roots Podcast. All right. The last time we talked, one of the things that we talked about was Fauci being uncovered as a complete fraud with the big email drop. There are some things going on in the world of the coronavirus today that I want to mention. Now, personally, if we want to talk about the virus, like I've told you, I live in a very blue state. I mean, New Jersey, but I live in a very blue area of New Jersey, like right across from New York City. And at the same time that people in Florida and Texas and, you know, Alabama, Arkansas and all that are living their lives, living free, up here you still see people walking around down the street by themselves, wearing masks, nobody around them, and they're still too scared and stupid to even pull the mask down over their nose and breathe some fresh air with nobody around them. People driving around in their cars by themselves with their mask on. I don't understand, like, why would you do this to yourself? You have to know that having a mask around your face is not good for you. I understand if you're afraid of a virus. But I mean, do they really think that the coronavirus is literally everywhere? That their little mask is going to save them? I mean, it says on the box that, you know, the box of masks that they bought, it says on the box that it's not going to protect you. And yet, here they are in New Jersey, still wearing it, out in the middle of nowhere, nobody around them. They won't even pull it down and get some fresh air. All right. I am starting to see a few more people go maskless. It's not many, but it, you know, it's happening, or at least they have them pulled down a little bit. I mean, I'm assuming all the ones that I see maskless are vaccinated. Last time I mentioned, I think, how my wife and I went to Trader Joe's in, it was the one down in Hoboken. We didn't wear masks. There were only one or two other people there without masks. I think one of them was a customer and one of them was somebody that worked there. Well, the other day, we went to Home Depot, and it's the one right by the Holland Tunnel to get into New York City. Anybody in the area knows what I'm talking about. We were the only ones that I saw in the entire Home Depot with no masks. And you should have seen the looks by all these people in both places, in Trader Joe's and there too, just staring at us like with this look of, kind of like a mixed fear of like confusion and worry and, you know, like, what is this person doing without a mask? I don't know. Like they couldn't even comprehend it. Like I know that in this area, I know these people. Believe me, the vast majority of these people around here are vaccinated. It's not like the 50% like around the rest of the country. I would guess here, most people. They were begging for the vaccine. Now, here they are, where they don't even have to wear a mask if they're vaccinated anymore, and yet they still do. Alone, walking down the street or in the car. I mean, this is the level of hysteria and fear, and I'm not taking part of it anymore. I'm not going into any, I mean, let me take that back. If there's a small independently owned store and, you know, they really want people to wear a mask or something like that, you know, if I might put one on just to placate them and their ridiculousness. But going into a restaurant, going into Home Depot, going into any of these places like this now, where it just says, hey, or they have a sign on the door that says, you know, unvaccinated people, we'd still like you to wear a mask. I am sorry, not doing it. And walking around outside, you're never going to catch me with a mask on outside. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now, speaking of all this nonsense with the coronavirus, this just gets me. Old Boris Johnson, right? The fraud over in England. He's over there at the G7 summit this week. He's with Plugs Biden and Macron and Angela Merkel, the destroyer of Europe. And apparently, he's planning on dashing the hopes of everybody in the UK that they can start to live their lives again. And he wants to scrap the end of the mandates and let it go for another month. I mean, who didn't see this coming, right? Anything that they can do to facilitate this great reset. That's unbelievable. I'm going to take this from, let me see, Breitbart. A scientist advising the government on the UK's response to the Chinese coronavirus has predicted that a substantial third wave is coming. Meanwhile, the prime minister is set to announce a four-week delay to the end of restrictions. Speaking to the BBC's Andrew Marr on Sunday, Professor Andrew Hayward of the Scientific Advisory Group on Emergencies, SAGE, oh, they're so wise, said, I think it's now very clear that we will have a substantial third wave of infections. The really big question is how much that wave of infections is going to translate into hospitalizations. The fact that we've got 55% of the adult population double vaccinated means that this would be substantially less than it could have been, but we still don't know exactly how bad it would be. Asked if he thought there was any chance that the UK would lift all restrictions as Prime Minister Boris Johnson had planned by June 21st, Professor Hayward said, I think if we were to open up more, that would just really fan the flames and lead to this increasing even faster. You see the out that he gave himself and the government, right? We're going to have this terrible third wave of infection, so much so that it's such a bad idea to reopen. We better put that off, but don't expect to see tons of people in the hospitals. Ah, isn't that convenient? There's not actually going to be an emergency, and even though there's going to be a third wave, you're not really going to see the effects of it. You're not going to see people in the hospitals. You're not going to see your fellow citizens in Britain being driven off in ambulances, right? It's just going to be happening in the background, but trust us, it's happening. Isn't that convenient? We're gonna keep you locked down over something we don't even expect people to get sick enough to go to the hospital over. So sit there at home, put your four masks on, and if you get infected, you might get the sniffles. At what point are people going to rise up and demand that all of this ends? Let's continue with the article a bit more here. The University College London epidemiologist's remarks come amidst several reports in the media on Monday that Prime Minister Johnson is set to announce this evening a delay to the end of restrictions. Sky News, The Times, and The Telegraph report government sources as saying that Freedom Day will now take place on July 19th, with a review after a fortnight. Several cabinet ministers, the UK's scientific advisor, and England's chief medical officer agreed to the move, according to reports. Measures remaining in place include many sectors of hospitality remaining closed or under restrictions. There's your businesses. Limits on gatherings. There's your social destruction. And continued mask wearing. There's your fear in indoor public settings like shops, while recommendations on working from home where possible will be maintained. There's fear again. Stay home. Don't go out. Don't go socialize. Live in fear. You know, work from home, muzzle up. Even though the whole world is sitting here listening to Fauci, right? Even though the Fauci emails reveal the mask to be frauds, that it's not really going to help, right? Ignore the fact that over here in America, entire states like Texas and Florida, other Republican states are doing just fine. All these states are acting, it's not that they're acting like COVID isn't a thing, but you're living your lives, right? They've got the masks off, they're gathering, all the businesses are open, people are bringing their economies back. But you Brits are supposed to give up your rights for yet another month because they need time to keep on duping you. Now, I've gotten emails from people asking why I talk about COVID so much when, you know, we already know it's overblown anyway. You know, it's not a big deal. We know all this. Why do you keep harping on it? Because this is the world plan. There is nothing more important than defeating this subject once and for all. And I don't mean the disease. I mean the people behind all of this. COVID was released on purpose. We see that now. We have the proof. And why? To get rid of Donald Trump. Why? So that the central banks and the globalists could retain power and reset the financial system that was collapsing around them, and so that they can reset it in their favor and strip away more and more and more of your rights and your freedom. They want to continue to weaken their own countries with mass immigration and prop up China. Now, their issue now is because of the red states are fighting back and the Fauci email dump, people are waking up to all this. You think the leaders in Europe trying to keep the lockdowns going aren't pissed off beyond belief at Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott? All these photos and videos of all the crowds of maskless people in Texas and Florida and other states having fun, no masks, in a crowd, not dying, not getting sick. I mean, it completely exposes them as the frauds that they are, right? G7 summit yesterday, there's a video out of all of them posing for press release photos, right? All wearing their masks, doing their social media elbow bumps and all that stuff, pretending like this is the beginning of the COVID pandemic. And as soon as they are given the clear, you know, that the photo was taken or the short little video that was just taken of them that they can put up on their websites is done, there they are taking off their masks and acting completely normal. If the leaders of the world have zero fear of COVID, then why in the world do you, right? Now, the article that really caught my eye today and should be the headline basically all over the place, I'm going to take this from the Gateway Pundit. Headline, Wuhan lab partner Dr. Ralph Baric reviewed coronavirus vaccine in December 2019 after scheming in 2018 on how to make money from the pandemic. Hear those dates? reviewing a coronavirus vaccine in December of 2019. The first case of coronavirus in the United States was reported in January of 2020, a month later. All right, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? When did Drs. Fauci and Barrick find out about the China coronavirus leak in Wuhan, and how did they know it? Why was the U.S. investigating the coronavirus vaccine before the Western world even knew about it? On April 9th, 2020, we were the first media outlet, this is Gateway Pundit again, to report on major events leading up to the China coronavirus leak that we suspected came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. We were able to determine Chinese Dr. Xi Zhengli was part of a team that was working on a coronavirus project jointly with U.S. doctors in 2014 before it was shut down by the DHS for being too risky. After the U.S. research project was shut down, Dr. Xi continued her coronavirus research in Wuhan, China. We reported that Dr. Xi Zhengli from China was part of a team, including Drs. Ralph S. Barrick from North Carolina, that published an article in 2015 edition of Nature Medicine. In the article, they discussed bat coronaviruses that showed potential for human emergence. The article was published in 2015. This report was published shortly after their project was defunded by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the HHS. The HHS in 2014 sent a letter to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where they announced they were going to defund the program. Dr. Ralph S. Barrick was identified in the letter. After the work stopped in the U.S., the Chinese moved forward with the project and ran research and development in Wuhan at the Wuhan Virology Center. From Xi Zhengli's papers and resume, it is clear that they successfully isolated the virus in the lab and were actively experimenting with species-to-species transmission. Today, Dr. Lawrence Sellin, who contributed much to this effort to uncover the truth about COVID, reported that a December 12, 2019 agreement was signed by Dr. Ralph Barrick that he would receive the mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates developed and jointly owned by the NIAID and Moderna. This is December of 2019. Signed an agreement that he would receive the mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates. The Moderna mRNA vaccine is now being given to people around the world. Pfizer also has an mRNA vaccine. Ralph Barrick is a longtime coronavirus researcher with close ties with the Batwoman and the Wuhan Institute of Virology, as noted above in our post from April of 2020. December 12, 2019 is very early in the COVID-19 outbreak before it was reported in the West. Barrick would be a logical person to test the efficacy of an mRNA vaccine. Now, what this tells us is that Drs. Barrick and Fauci may have been aware of what was happening in China, and Fauci and Moderna were likely working on coronavirus vaccines before COVID-19 was announced in the West. The Moderna vaccine was ready for human testing very quickly. It seems to be hardly a coincidence that Barrick, who does not appear anywhere else in the confidential agreement, should appear at such a consequential moment. And now this week, now I'm sorry for reading all this, but this is extremely important. This goes to show that these people knew they were involved in this research early on, going back years. So this entire story that we were fed for months about this being bat soup, think about that. And Trump was right all along. The first thing he said is that this thing came from a lab in China. Name the lab. Here we go. Here's all the evidence. Here's actually more evidence. There's already been plenty of it. And this is what we have to listen to still in the mainstream media. Every time you post something like this on a media outlet, what do you get? You get that little warning. Oh, for real information about the coronavirus, go to the CDC. Or this information is not been proven by fact checkers and all that. But there was nobody fact-checking the bat soup theory, right? That was all true because the mainstream media and the Democrat Party said it. Now this weekend, the National Pulse has video of Ralph Barrick from 2018 scheming on how to make money from a pandemic. Barrick, who's described lifting bans on gain-of-function research as critical, that brings in Fauci again, also provided the Wuhan lab with humanized mice to likely conduct the controversial form of research with SARS-like coronaviruses. During his 2018 speech, Imagining the Next Flu Pandemic and Preventing It, he presents a slide titled Global Catastrophe, Opportunities Exist. The slide outlines what types of stocks and industries surged during the Ebola outbreak, which he used to extrapolate financial advice on how to make money in the next pandemic. I wanted to give you good news. There are winners out there, right? So if you ever want to be prepared and make money in the next pandemic, if that's what you want to do, buy stock in hazmat suit makers and protective clothing or companies that make antiviral drugs for that particular pandemic, he notes. Now, one thing that I find interesting about all of this was that they started this research over here in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, right? Before the final phases and everything went over to China. You remember in the beginning of all this, when the virus was really just starting to come out, we started to publicly accuse China and say that the virus came from a lab over there. Trump started calling it the China virus and everything. The Chinese shot back and said that the virus was made here, not over there. Now, I am not saying that we created the weaponized version of the virus here, but there does seem to be a little glimmer of truth to their accusation that things aren't so cut and dried when it comes to the origin of this thing. It looks like some of our research, like this Barrett guy and Fauci and others, started this thing over here. The main thing that I want to take away from this is, does this sound like bat soup anymore? Does this sound like these people that we've been looking to for information weren't in on it from the beginning? Before we even knew this virus was here, before it had even been announced to the Western world that it even existed, we had these key players involved in vaccines, planning ways to make cash, making deals with drug companies, right? Combine everything that I just read to you with Fauci's video that I played for you an episode or two ago, guaranteeing in 2017 that Trump was going to face a surprise outbreak. Guaranteeing it. And the sickest thing of all is, most of the population of this world still doesn't see this for what it is. Still doesn't get how deep this runs. This wasn't an accident. It wasn't a natural virus that just spread to humans. This all had research behind it. It had a plan and a purpose, and we are living that purpose right now. And who does the majority of the world still turn to for information and to be told what to do? To the very people that unleash this on us for their own benefit. Think about that. Oh, tell us, Dr. Fauci, how long do we need to wear this mask and when can I see my family again? Even though you're the one who was in on this and magically predicted it 2 years in advance, right? And it was being researched with his money. Let's move on to another topic before I lose my mind. I can almost feel my blood pressure rising. I said this was going to be a short one, but I'm already at 20-something minutes. So anyway, today is Trump's birthday. He's 75 today, so happy birthday to him. Wishes for good health and success at all that he's doing on the surface and behind the scenes. It is also Flag Day, and it is also the birthday of the U.S. Army, who were founded on June 14, 1775. So happy birthday to the Army. Hope to see them one day, doing what they ought to be doing. Now, Flag Day was made, and I quote, "for urging the people to observe the day as the anniversary of the adoption on June 14, 1777 by the Continental Congress of the Stars and Stripes as the official flag of the United States of America. The flag should also be displayed on all government buildings." All right, so we're commemorating when the Stars and Stripes became the official flag of the country. Now, on that day, on June 14, 1777, Congress set down exactly what the official flag of the USA should look like. And obviously, that's changed over time. We've added states. The look of the flag has changed, right? But the official Stars and Stripes flag is the one that we're supposed to be celebrating today and flying above government buildings. But not if you're the Biden administration. No, then you need to be woke. You need to piss people off, and you need to further weaken and divide the country and make us look like fools. I'm going to take this from Breitbart. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland celebrated Flag Day on Monday by hoisting the Progress Pride flag above the Interior Building in Washington, D.C. "Today we celebrate love," Haaland wrote on social media with a picture of the flag. "For the first time ever, the Progress Pride flag is raised over Interior. Happy Pride! Now, apparently today we're celebrating love. We should be celebrating that Biden, after a 2.5 hour delay, made his way to the podium and finally mumbled and drooled all over himself at a press conference. Congrats to him. But really, Flag Day is for celebrating love? I thought we were celebrating the flag. Our flag, the national flag, the stars and stripes, but no, apparently we're celebrating pride and love. So there's the Biden administration's respect for your flag and this day that's supposed to celebrate it as a national symbol that brings us together. Instead, they go for pandering and trying to ram an agenda down your throat. Now, in the grand scheme of things, is this the most important story? No, certainly not. Not with all the stuff going on right now, okay? Not on the surface. I just wanted to show you how they don't miss any opportunity to disrespect the country, walk all over its traditions, push their agenda at completely inappropriate times. People have died for this flag. People have been left to rot on the grounds of foreign soil, leaving their families behind. People have spilled their blood, sacrificed everything for the flag. And you can be damn sure it was not the progress pride flag that they died for. All right, I'll end on, it just bothers me. I'll end one last thing here. More unity from Joe Biden. As you know, he's over at the G7, making a complete ass of himself, basically, by the minute. Making no sense in his speeches. He's getting lost, walking around, needing to be led around by his wife, by the hand. Literally being laughed at. And I know sometimes people say literally and they don't mean it. I mean it literally being laughed at by other world leaders. Laughing out loud at the guy. It's how pathetic he is. And today shows up 2.5 hours late for that speech. And this is what he said, part of what he said. I'm going to take this from Breitbart. President Joe Biden criticized supporters of former President Donald Trump as a significant minority of Americans during a press conference in Europe on Monday. The president spoke about Trump and his supporters during a press conference after a day of NATO summit meetings with world leaders, he said. I think it's appropriate to say that the Republican Party is vastly diminished in numbers. The leadership of the Republican Party is fractured, and the Trump wing of the party is the bulk of the party, but it makes up a significant minority of the American people. Biden was asked by a reporter how America's allies could trust his assertion that America was back after Trump's presidency. What I'm saying to them is, watch me, Biden replied, adding he was trusting that world leaders believed that I mean what I say and they believe that I keep my commitments when I say it. Biden said he believed the United States was at a moment of turning away from the phony populism that Trump inflamed with his presidency. I think this is passing. I don't mean easily passing, he said. That's why it's so important that I succeed in my agenda. Biden also expressed his hope that a lot of Republicans, particularly younger Republicans, would join in a coalition of political leadership. He cited the Capitol Hill riots. They see how the press has no trouble calling that a riot, but everything else that happened was a peaceful protest all over the summer, right? He cited the Capitol riots on January 6th as a shock to democracies worldwide, but said he was reassured about America's overall character. I think it is a shock and surprise that what's happened in terms of the consequence of President Trump's phony populism has happened, he said. That's a clear statement. Biden added he was disappointed in his Republican colleagues for refusing to vote in support of an investigation of Capitol Hill riots. There we go again. And for failing to challenge Trump's hold on their party. So there you go. You are a waning minority and populism is dead. Oh, by the way, less than a couple thousand people tuned in to watch Biden on the White House feed, right? And most seem to be Republicans because he got a massive amount of downvotes. And the last time I heard somebody talking about it, when this thing was still going on a couple of hours ago, the numbers had dropped all the way down to a few hundred people watching. But he got 81 million votes, and you are the minority. All right, that is going to be it for today. There's not a huge update on the audits today. Arizona is going to be wrapping up the hand count today. but they still have to scan and do a lot of the forensic work on over a million ballots yet. So they're doing it. They said it about 100,000 a day. So we've got kind of a long road ahead of us in terms of that part of the audit. The fraud is real. All right. Now, is there anybody left in this country once that fraud is out and revealed that's going to do what they're supposed to do? That really is the only question we have to ask ourselves, because all the proof in the world is out there. Okay, so as long as there are still people in this country that are going to do their jobs, I don't see how this ends badly for us. We just have to be patient. We have to work together to keep enlightening people as to what's actually going on. Show them all the proof. Show them all the, because, you know, liberal media, they're not reporting this stuff. They're saying that all these audits are nothing but a complete fraud. So we have to share real information with people. That's the only way that this is going to spread. It's going to be by you and me. It's not going to be by the mainstream media. All right, that's it for today. Going to try to be back on Friday briefly, even if it's for 10 minutes or something like that, especially if something really important happens between now and then. If you're on TikTok, Conservative Roots Podcast, if you are on Telegram, Conservative Roots Podcast, you'll be able to see some things from me, in between now and then. Hope you guys have a good week, and I will talk to you as soon as possible. Take care.